Success is no accident. The most successful people in life, whether in business, family life, music, or on the sports field, look, they may not always seem like they have much in common. I mean, how are the Beatles similar to Steve Jobs or Warren Buffett to Shane Warne? But when their traits, their habits, and their worth ethics are distilled down, these unlikely characters share many similarities. You see, aside from the random element of luck, much of what makes some people successful involves the cultivating of certain habits. Now, learning what these habits are and how to employ them in your own life sounds like it could be worthwhile. So in this month's Build a Business, Not a Job podcast, I'm going to discuss 15 of the common habits with Mark Creedon, founder of Business Accelerator Mastermind. But if you're not in business or planning to go into one, it doesn't matter, because if you're planning to become successful in your life, in your career, as a property investor, you're definitely going to get benefit from today's show. So I'm going to have two separate chats with Mark today. The first one about success habits that you can learn and emulate. And then I'm going to have a chat with Mark about his new book, Have a Business, Not a Job. And I'm going to get Mark to share three special tips or takeaways from his book that you could start implementing straight away. So lots to discuss, and welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropol, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
Today, we're going to have a chat about the 15 habits of successful business people, entrepreneurs, and investors. They may not all be relevant to you. You may not use all of them, but if you get to use two or three of them, it's going to get you to make a lot more out of your day, and you're going to be much more productive. So let's have a chat with my business partner and founder of Business Accelerator Mastermind, Mark Creedon, about how successful people manage their time. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Michael.
Now, Mark, we all have the same amount of time, but some of us squander it, waste it, don't use it efficiently. So what I'd like to talk with you about in this podcast today is how we can make the most of our time. We're into a new year. We've got a whole lot of new goals. We're probably going to want to forget what happened last year. So let's see what we can do to help people get the most out of the time. And this inspiration came from a blog that I read a short while ago. So I'd like to read you out what some of the thoughts were and get your take on it. Since I think it's probably one of the most common requests you get as a business coach. How do I make the most use of my time?
Yeah, 100%. It's the one of the greatest questions that we get.
Well, the number one tip was, time is your most valuable and scarcest resource. We've all got the same 1,440 minutes every day, don't we?
Yeah, we do, Michael. It's interesting that people talk about time management and how do I make more time. And of course, we actually can't make more time. But what successful people do is they understand what you've just said, and that is they understand that we have 1,440 minutes in a day. And so they actually think in terms of minutes as opposed to days or weeks.
That's interesting. And what does that mean?
Well, it means that they get to understand the true value of their time. So they're talking about, see, time management isn't about managing time, because we've all got the same a number of minutes in the day. It's actually about managing priorities. So they understand the value of time. Michael, time is the one commodity you can't get back. Like, you can lose money and you can make it back. You can get ill and you can recover. But when time is gone, it's gone forever, Michael.
So by thinking about it in minutes rather than days, you actually value each precious minute and you don't waste those minutes. You use them effectively. So I guess the number one tip is capitalize on the time you've got and you're going to get a whole lot more done. I think the next tip would be understand what your most important task is in the day and do it first.
Yeah, it is a matter of working on the right things. I mean, what you have to think about in terms of, I mean, and this applies, Michael, not just to business, of course, this applies to life and, you know, your organization and in your personal life as well. So ask yourself the question, what's that one project that's going to give you the highest return? What's that one project that's going to double your business or going to give you so much more time back? And then make that your most important task and lock it in. Schedule time to work on that task first, Michael.
So it's important to know what your most important task is. And as you say, schedule it. Now, I know I work most efficiently in the morning, and I think a lot of people do. On that basis, then, I have time set aside to do that, a two-hour window first thing in the morning, while most people work on other people's most important tasks first. They answer emails. They look at what other people are wanting of them rather than working on their own most important task.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Michael, you know, your email inbox is really just somebody else's to-do list. So rather than spending time working on their priorities, work out what your most important tasks are. What are the things that are going to give you the most return? Double your business, give you extra time, make your life better, spend more quality time with your family, whatever it might be, make that your most important task. Lock that into your calendar, get it out of the way when you're at your cognitive best first thing in the morning, and make that happen before you start dealing with other people's to-do lists.
Another tip was work from your calendar, not a to-do list. Now, I know I've tried a whole lot of ways of doing to-do lists, written lists, and I've enjoyed crossing out things at the end of the day, scrolling up the paper and throwing it away. I've tried electronic to-do lists, and you know recently I've actually swapped to the program Trello, which I'm finding very useful. But the concept here was that you don't get most of the things on your to-do list done. You never do, do you?
No, you don't. But let me ask you this. Have you ever written something on your to-do list that you've already done just so you can have the pleasure of crossing it off?
No, I've never cheated myself that way. But what I have found, Mark, is by putting a time aside in my calendar rather than the to-do list, I've actually done the task then.
Yeah. Michael, one of the things that I always teach our clients is the concept that I call cash flow follows your calendar. So how you make the most money in your business is by doing the most important things. That's what we just spoke about. So what you do is you take your to-do list and you drop that to-do list straight into your calendar. And there's two advantages of that. One, it absolutely then gets done. So you pick a day, you pick a time, you pick a duration for it. It definitely gets done. But the other thing is you actually remove it from your headspace. So you no longer think about, oh, I must do this, I must do this, I must get to it. Instead, you know, do you know what? That's locked in. 2 o'clock Thursday, I'm going to make that phone call, or I'm going to have that meeting, or I'm going to complete that task.
I think one of the things that gave me a sense of comfort many years ago was when I realized there's always going to be more to do. I know when I first started off, working 5 days a week wasn't enough, so I worked 7 days a week. I worked longer hours, but it never got all the tasks done, Mark.
No, and Michael, we often see that too at certain times of the year, don't we, where people feel that, you know, suddenly there's times like Christmas or end of financial year, or we suddenly think that, you know, around Christmas time, I find that people are suddenly trying to get all of these things done on their list. And I had somebody the other day say to me that you know, they wanted to get something done that had been sitting on their list for 6 months and suddenly it had to be done in 2 weeks. I mean, if it hasn't been a priority for the last 6 months, it probably isn't a priority in the next 2 weeks either. So there's always more to do if you work out what's highest and best use of your time, what's your priority, and then lock that into your calendar. You'll get through so much more. You'd probably be surprised how much time you'll gain back, actually.
One of the tips from successful people about how to manage their time, and that's what we talk about today, is a tip from Richard Branson, who said, always carry a notebook. He thought that was one of the most valuable time management tips he had. I know my wife, Pam, carries a notebook. So rather than doing things electronically, she writes it down. And I know you enjoy journaling, Mark.
Michael, I do. I set aside time every morning to journal. And it's a really important part of my practice. And that for me just gives me clarity of thought. It gives me the opportunity to be grateful for things and just the opportunity to stop and take stock for a moment. So journaling is really important. Interestingly, the most successful people I've ever known either journal or carry a notebook. And Michael, I know that you love technology and I know you love, you know, you're a bit like me in some ways, but you love gadgets and technology and new programs. But I know even when I'm talking to you, you pick pen and paper up, and whilst you might not always carry a notebook, you always carry notes with you, and you're always just writing little bits and pieces down. And the most successful people I know in business and in life, that's exactly what they do, Michael.
I've realized that it gets it out of my head, because otherwise it's still sitting there and doesn't leave room for other new ideas. Mark, another time management tip is best use of your inbox. Many of us use our inbox or text messages. I think it's a form of relief. You get those dings. Isn't it the same as you get in the slot machines or at the casino? You actually feel good. Hey, somebody's wanting me or wanting to speak to me, or there's something for me to do.
Yeah. Oh, Michael, I'm a terrible gambler. I probably play the slot machines, you know, once a year, if that. I'm afraid the casinos will never make a lot of money out of me. But you're right, there's this little fix. And part of it comes down to that sort of that need to be wanted. But there's real value in shutting off those notifications. So, for example, Michael, on my phone, the only notifications I have are text messages. And that way I control my email, not let my email control me. And it's a really important distinction to make, I think.
I know the other thing we both do is have specific times, 2-3 times a day we read our emails. It's too easy to just instantly respond to emails when they come in. And that's that old story of men aren't very good at multitasking, but let's be blunt, none of us really are anyway, because it takes time to get back into your train of thought. So the next tip, as we said, is control your inbox. What about meetings and attending meetings? Zoom and 2020 has taught us some different things about that. How would you handle that with your clients at Business Accelerator Mastermind? What advice would you be giving them?
Well, there's two things. One is to schedule a meeting as a last resort. And the second thing would be to set a really clear time frame for the meeting. I mean, one of the things that I see in meetings is people go into a meeting with no understanding of what they want to get out of it and no agenda for how it's going to process. And then the third thing is no time frame for it. I read an article recently where a company in the Netherlands moved their meetings initially from sitting around a boardroom table to stand up. And I know that's something that you do. So stand up meetings, they're much quicker. And then they moved to planking meetings. And so they actually went from 35-minute meetings to about 2-minute meetings because nobody could plank beyond 2 minutes. So you've got to set an agenda. You've got to set a time frame for it. You've got to know what the outcome is. But the other thing is, you know, there's no sense in having a meeting for the sake of having a meeting. So, you know, meetings as a last resort, and see if you can get people to work on solving their own problems without having to put all of their heads together in a physical meeting.
Now, it may not be possible for some people listening to this to do it because you're not the boss, you're not one setting the agenda, but see if you can organize meetings at a time that's suitable for you. In other words, if your most productive time of the day is the morning, like I said a moment ago, say no to meetings in the morning, use it for the most important tasks of the day, like we said a moment ago, and then do your meetings at other times of the day. The other thing is you've got to learn not just to say no to meetings, Mark. You should probably be saying no to more things, because every time you put something on your list, you're actually saying no to something else. So how do you decide what's important, what isn't, and what you should be saying no to?
I think, Michael, you need to understand, you know, we spoke before about what's your most important task. I think you also need to understand what your goals are. And so as requests come through to you, you ask yourself this question: is doing this thing, attending this meeting, having this conversation actually going to feed my goals? Is it going to, you know, further the direction that I'm traveling in? If the answer is no, then you should find a way to say no to it. Now, as you just said, if you're an employee, sometimes that can be difficult. But do you know what? My experience, Michael, is that generally speaking, as business owners, we actually appreciate that sort of input. And if you can make an input to the boss that says, hey, listen, you know this meeting we have, I actually think we could do that quicker, shorter, focus on a different way of doing it, and that will increase productivity and time and job satisfaction, I would think the business owner would probably appreciate that. So understanding what your immediate goals are and say no to the things that don't work with that.
I think some of us just don't want to come across as being rude. We want to help other people when they ask us for help. But if you think about it, if you say yes to one thing, you're actually saying no to another thing, or sometimes to many things. So be careful about what you accept. And that leads us into something that I know you spend a lot of time teaching at Business Accelerator Mastermind: the power of the Pareto principle, that old 80-20 rule that 80% of your results come from about 20% of your activities.
Yeah, it's really interesting, Michael, because it doesn't matter. I know Pareto was a mathematician. I forget when it was, in the 1600s or something, but it's just never changed, has it? And it applies to so many things in life, in business, in personal life. 80% of your results will come from about 20% of your activities. So it is a matter of just taking some time, slow down, look at the work that you're doing, pull out the handful of tasks that are actually going to give you the most results and focus on those. And there's a real theme here, Michael. We're talking about most important task. We're talking about saying no to things that don't fit in with your goals. And that fits very much into that 80-20 Pareto principle.
Well, I know at Business Accelerator Mastermind, you go into it even more deeply because you break the 80-20 rule down to the 80% of your results come from 20% of your activities, and then you break those 20% activities down again and again. So you've got some great models that you take people through. And when they realize that and they learn that they've got to focus on their strengths and their passions and they learn to delegate, that gives them a lot more time. But people find it hard to delegate, Mark.
Yeah, they do. There's a whole bunch of things that stop people from delegating, but probably the two most common ones are fear of letting go and just this omnipotency myth that people go, well, nobody can do it as well as I can. So, Michael, in Business Accelerator Mastermind, we do actually go through a process of teaching people to delegate, going through the principles of delegation. And if you can learn the delegation skills, what it will do is it will remove all of those 80% tasks, those tasks that aren't your most important, the tasks that don't fit in with your goal. It'll get them off your plate and it will enable you to have that extra freedom. You'd be surprised once we actually teach people delegation skills, freeing up a day, a week is not an uncommon outcome for them.
And they don't always take that day off to play golf or spend it with their family, but what they've done is actually spend it on their A activities. So I know you go into A, B, C, and D activities, and that's really important to understand because your A activity earns you so, so much more per hour than the D activities, which are the ones that you really should be delegating. Now, a couple of times we've mentioned Business Accelerator Mastermind. I guess we've got to be open and transparent, and you and I are business partners in that. Many years ago, I've lost track now, it's over a decade, you've been my business coach, you then became business coach to the other directors at Metropol before you were now a director of Metropol, and then I started referring clients to you, and I saw the great results they got. I saw how you changed my life and my business and actually helped me build a business rather than just have a job, and I saw how you did that with other people as well, and on that basis, what happened was I thought, hey, this is too good. It's so useful for my clients. I wanted to be part of it. So we set up Business Accelerator Mastermind. That's how I got involved. How did you get started doing this sort of thing?
Yeah, it's an interesting story, Michael. I got involved. In some ways, you got involved the easy way, I guess, in this. I got involved the hard way. So for me, I've always been an entrepreneur. I was just saying to somebody the other day, I think I had my very first business was selling peanuts in a street stand out the front of my parents' house when I was 7 years old. So I've always been an entrepreneur. But the problem was, Michael, I never had a mentor who taught me anything other than that you could only achieve success through extraordinary hard work. So it was only ever work harder, not smarter. And so what I did was I went to uni, I had a number of jobs, I had my own business. And by the time I was in my mid-30s, I'd burnt out. And in fact, I'd burnt out to the point where, you know, I'd lost my marriage, I had a poor relationship with my children. And frankly, you know, taking my own life was a very real option for me. So I realized there had to be a better way. And that's what I then spent the next number of years and a lot of money learning new ways, finding a different way to succeed in business without burning yourself out. And that's kind of what got me into coaching. And then I then discovered the value not just in individual accountability, but in shared wisdom and collective momentum, which is what comes from a group coaching program. And that's how Business Accelerator Mastermind was born, Michael.
Well, it's been very successful, and I know you've been a business coach to some very large entrepreneurs, some very big business people, and not just me and the team at Metropol, but others in various industries. And I think that's where it was very valuable. You're bringing the information out from other industries and helping your clients with that, but also for solopreneurs and also for professionals. So if you want to understand more about Business Accelerator Mastermind and how you could, now that we're in a new year, have the same business coach on your side that I and the other directors of Metropole have, go to metropolemastermind.com.au. There'll be a link in the show notes, metropolemastermind.com.au, and find out a bit more about what Mark does and how he could help you. Now, back to these time management tips that successful people have used, Mark. What's your thoughts about batching your work and setting aside parts of a day or whole days to do things?
I love it. The thing about, Michael, for me, when I find that my productivity is on the downward spiral, if you like, invariably it's because I've stopped batching. And I think you find the same thing. And in fact, I was having a conversation with one of our mastermind members yesterday, and he was sort of starting to get into overwhelm and panic mode. And when we dug deeper into it, because that's one of the things that we do, we have the opportunity to unstick them, we found that he'd stopped batching. So he'd stopped setting aside time for the day. And, you know, it's come out of, I know Dan Sullivan talks about it, Tim Ferriss talks about it in the 4-hour work week. If you can have focus days, buffer days, free days, if you can batch your emails, batch your phone calls, batch the work that you're doing, what it means is that you've got dedicated time set aside for it. You can dive deep into it, but then you also have times when you're not working, when you've got some free time, when you've got time to work in your genius, something that we very much focus on in Business Accelerator Mastermind.
Now, you mentioned free time twice just a second ago, and I think that's also important. You've got to give yourself that time to rest, to recharge, to keep moving, because the pressures of life create, I know some entrepreneurs, certain personality styles don't like taking that time, but it does make a big difference.
Michael, it makes a big difference to you, but it also makes a big difference to the people around you. And I don't just mean in business. So there's nothing worse than working for somebody who's completely frazzled and overwhelmed, because it just feeds down not just to the people around you, but ultimately it feeds down to your clients as well. And it starts to come out in the service that you deliver. But what's the sense in doing all of this? What's the sense in working hard and being successful either in our job or in a business or in a position of a management within a business if we then have a really ordinary life at home? And that's what I did. I didn't batch and burnt myself out and burnt a marriage. And I mean, I'm very grateful that I've got a great relationship with my kids and grandkids now, but I had to work hard at that once I realized what was important.
So with this concept of batching, when I first learned about it, I set aside initially half a day a week as a focus day just to get onto the most important tasks and let the business do other things, because I was still very involved in the business. And as the business grew, I set aside more times on focus days. And then there were buffer days when the day-to-day things had to be done. And then there were also free days set aside. So, you know, Mark, I've got in my calendar a couple of afternoons a week, which can't be changed, can't be taken away. They're the times I spend with my kids and my grandkids. And they're the most valuable times of the day. So that's very useful. Another trick that I've learned along the way is if you can do something quickly rather than handle it again, whether this is an email or a little task, just get it done, get it over and done with and move on.
Yeah, it's called the one touch or the touch at once principle. And you know, Michael, when you're not working in this principle, and I'm sure you've done, I know I have, how many times do you pick something up on your desk and you move it from one pile to the other, one side to the other, or you take something out of an email inbox and you put it into a folder and just do it, just pick it up and do it. So if there are things that can be done quickly, and just a little adjunct to that too, is that once you learn to delegate, the same principles apply. So touching it once might be doing it, but might also be delegating it. So it's, you know, do it, delegate it, or delete it, get rid of it, make a decision, work on it, and just watch how getting those things off your desk, out of your inbox, out of your head is actually going to give you more time, more energy, and more ability to focus on the really important things.
Now, we've mentioned delegation a few times, and only before we started pressing the record button here, we talked about somebody who delegated but didn't delegate properly and the task wasn't done correctly. So what tips would you give to somebody when you say, well, don't do it yourself, delegate it? That's not the highest and best use of your time.
Sure. So there's four basic things, I think, which are the rules of delegation. The first is that when you delegate something, you have to understand that what you're delegating is not the task, but the responsibility for it. So when you delegate something to somebody, you're actually now handing over responsibility for it. What that means is if they've got questions on it, if they're unsure what to do next, you actually have to let them find the answers, and so not micromanaging. Because if you're a micromanager, you might as well not delegate in the first place. So that's the first thing, understand its responsibility. Second thing is, make sure that who you're delegating it to has all of the skills, tools, and resources they need. Third thing is to make sure that there's the expectations are crystal clear. And then finally, and this is the one thing that most people miss, Michael, is that there is a time-based reporting process in place. So if you delegate something, you delegate the responsibility for it, you make sure they've got the tools, you make sure the expectations are clear, and that there's a time frame by which you want to report back on it.
To finalize this list of time management tips, tricks that successful people use, let's talk about something that's not really related to time, but about us. So if we want to be most productive, we've really got to look after ourselves, our bodies, our energy, our focus, Mark.
Yeah, we do. You know, the thing about business and life is that it shouldn't be a marathon, and very, very few of us are marathon runners. So I always like to work in sprints. And you know, Michael, in Business Accelerator Mastermind, we actually work in six-week sprints. So everything that we do for our clients while they're in the program works across a six-week time frame, because we know that 6 weeks is enough time to get things done, but not enough time to get sort of burnt out in the process. So you've got to look after yourself. You've got to take more breaks. You've got to get sleep. And the idea is just to set sprints, run hard, and then stop and take a rest. Then set another sprint, as opposed to thinking that it's a constant marathon, because that's where burnout becomes a significant factor.
Sure. So look after yourself, look after your body, have a break, look after people around you, the people that you're doing all this for also. So there you have it. We've all got the same amount of time, 1,440 minutes a day. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. You start using it efficiently. And if you want to get some help, if you want to build your business to a real business rather than a job, why not go to metropolemastermind.com.au, find out about how Mark Creedon could help you, just like he's helped me and so many other successful business people and entrepreneurs. Thanks for your time today, Mark.
It's always a pleasure, Michael.
Mark, in the first portion of this show, we talked about the habits of successful people. Now I'd like to congratulate you on one of your personal successes. Congratulations on the publication of your book, How to Have a Business, Not a Job, Without Nearly Killing Yourself.
Thanks, Michael. It's been an interesting journey.
Well, I bet part of the journey was going through a whole lot of ideas about what to put in the book, because being a successful business coach and seeing the journey of a lot of other people, there would have been so much you could have included. But also part of the journey is choosing a title for the book. How did you choose the name for your book?
I chose that name through personal experience. So, you know, Michael, I've always had an entrepreneurial streak, and I've always been involved in business or professional practice of some sort. And what I did was when I first started in my entrepreneurial journey, I only knew one way, and that was work hard, you know, run a business, have a job, study, and work hard long hours. And so what happened for me, that's what I did. And by the time I was in my mid-30s, I really had burned out. In fact, I'd burned myself out. I'd burned most of my friends. I'd burned my marriage, and frankly, had a pretty ordinary relationship with my young children as well. And for me, Michael, having a business took me to the point where, frankly, taking my own life was actually a very real option for me. So what I then did was work out there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way. And so that's kind of what led. You can actually have a business, not just a job, and you don't need to get to the point where you nearly kill yourself in the process.
Well, there's so many business books out there. Who is this aimed at, and what would they learn? What would the takeaways be if they read the book?
Well, I think that the book, and this is sort of one of the, you know, Michael, it took me some time to put this book together for two reasons. One, as you say, there's just so much content. But I think the book was really designed to be for people who are just getting started in their business journey, and to help them to overcome some of the common hurdles that catch lots of new entrepreneurs. But the interesting thing is, and most of the people in our Business Accelerator Mastermind program don't fall into that category, but they fall into the category of people who are already been in business for some time. They're already successful. But what's happening is they're in a business that is totally reliant on them. So they actually do have a job, not a business. And in many ways, there's very many similarities between a new entrepreneur and a person who's been in a business, which is more like a job, for a long period of time. The only real difference is that the existing business owner has been there for longer.
Well, at Business Accelerator Mastermind, we talk about the three levels of business, and very few actually get to the level three business, where it's actually a real business rather than a job that could work without them. That doesn't mean they have to sell it. That doesn't mean they don't still want to work in it. But I guess what you're doing is showing people how to build a real business, not a job. Okay, what are some big takeaways? Let's give the listeners a bit of a hint of what they'd get from the book.
So, Michael, look, there's a bunch of takeaways. I think that the three big takeaways that the book will show is that it'll help them to understand that time is the most precious commodity that we have. And we can't make more of it, but we can actually make more use of the time that we have. And what I find is that most people in business, and especially, Michael, especially those in professional practice, they suffer from just a crippling lack of time. So in the book, I go through a process that shows with some very simple adjustments, it's very easy to gain an extra half a day a week. I mean, who wouldn't in business or frankly in your personal life like to gain an extra half a day a week? So getting that extra time is a relatively simple process. We show you in the book how to understand the four types of time, how to work in what we call the productive zone, and then plan dedicated activity timeframes. If we put those three tools together, you will actually have far better use of your time and you'll actually get some time back.
Well, I know one of the biggest challenges all the business people I speak to have is time management. We've all got the same 1,440 minutes in the day, but let's find out how to use it more productively. And having read your book, I know that you cover that really, really well. What's another takeaway people would get?
I think, Michael, understanding that the people around you are your most important asset. So realizing that, developing them, it will help you to scale the business, help the reader to understand the principle. And of course, the principle works in your private life as well. So it's a matter of understanding that the skills of the people who are around you, understanding the strengths, the weaknesses of both you and them, and then applying a cross-application process. So in other words, developing the right environment to apply a cross-application process in order to get the people around you doing the right things and freeing up your time, enable you to scale the business and therefore have the business far less reliant on you.
Now, we keep talking about business, but this book's also very relevant for people in professional practices. I know a lot of people who've spent 5, 6, 4 years going to university don't like the concept, the thought that they're in business. I'm a professional. And while they are, they still really, if they want to make money and bring money home to put food on the table, they've got to run their professional practices like a business, don't they?
Yeah, they do, Michael. And the thing is that understanding that, well, in some ways, Michael, you can run your life like a business as well. I mean, let's be honest, running the household is not that dissimilar to running a business as well. Most professionals in private practice believe that the product that they sell is them. And that's probably the third big takeaway for the book is to tap into what the true product is that you're selling, grasping the concept of product. It'll probably be the biggest single key to unlocking freedom, understanding that what you're selling is not you, and that understanding the impact and transformation process, and then using that to deliver it in a scaled fashion. It will actually free the owner up with time, and that time can then be used either to work on the business or, frankly, just spend a bit more time on their life.
Now, Mark, having looked at your book, read your book over the Christmas break, I saw your book isn't just theory, but lots of practical applications as well. What's the best way for a reader to get the most out of your book?
Oh, Michael, the book is full of exercises that you can actually do. So the idea would be to work through the book and also tap into, there's a website attached to the book. And that's where you'll find a whole bunch of tools and cheat sheets that we've included in the book. So it's very much a reading theory book and then applying that theory in practical terms in your business. So by the time you finish the book, you should actually be able to walk away with a nice, neat 4 or 5 page plan for how you're going to get more time, focus on the right things at the right time, get the right people doing the right things, and truly understanding what your product is and how you can best market it.
Now, for anyone who's been listening to our podcast for a while, you'd know that we're business partners in Business Accelerator Mastermind. That's been for a couple of years now. But prior to that, and you were a business coach and still are a business coach to a lot of very successful entrepreneurs and professionals from a range of industries, and you've seen so many things. How did you narrow it down? How did you choose the topics from all the issues that you see as a coach?
Well, for me, it was just a matter of looking at the most common things that I see, the things that actually hold a business owner back, and the most common mistakes that I see them make. And of course, Michael, these are the mistakes that I made. So it's interesting how, as we go on through the years and I see technology changes, the way service providers provide their service or product changes, but the principles don't really change. So I've looked at the most common mistakes that people make, which is around thinking that they have to do everything in their business, thinking that that they are the business, and also thinking that time is something that they can't control. And so I looked at those common mistakes, found the solutions for them, and packaged them up in a nice kind of easy to implement fashion.
Well, I found that very useful as well, because you've got to start somewhere. So why not start on those areas where you're going to get the most bang for bucks for the time that you spend in making some changes. Mark, in your book, you talk about the importance of understanding product. Wouldn't you think that anyone in business understands what they're actually selling?
Yeah, you'd think so, Michael, but it's not so. I mean, what I see is new business owners and even seasoned entrepreneurs focusing on the physical product rather than, or the service rather than the outcome it delivers. And I mean, let's use a real world example. Let's talk about Mark, who's a lawyer, part of our mastermind program. And like most professionals in private practice, Mark traded time for money, and he thought that what he was selling was his time in 6-minute increments. But once we helped him to see that what his clients were really looking for was certainty, peace of mind, simplicity based on sound legal knowledge, then we were able to help him to get a good portion of the service that he provided completed by someone else. Suddenly, his practice scaled. In fact, Michael, he added about 25% to his revenue figures in the space of 3 months just by changing that simple process of how he thought about the product he was delivering.
That makes sense. I think most lawyers, most professionals, they've spent all that time studying, they're continuing doing their continual professional development. So they think they've got to deliver it all and show how smart they are. In fact, clients really seem to want, just give me a straight answer. Take away my problems, help me by protecting me.
Yeah, look, 100%. I mean, let's be honest, there's thousands of lawyers and some are better than others, like any profession. Most will be on a par, but if all that you do in a professional practice is to trade your time for money, then you're never going to grow. You're never going to scale. And in fact, all you're ever going to do is have a job. And Michael, you and I both know professionals in practice, and we could name a couple right now, who when they're not there, the business makes no money. When they go on holidays, all they stress. In fact, I remember speaking to one professional who traveled all the way to Europe for a conference in the space of 3 days because he just couldn't spend any more than 3 days away from his practice. So they're the sort of things that hold people back. So once you really understand what it is that clients want and work out how it can be delivered via systems and structure, which is what we did for Mark, helped him to step back a little bit from his ego, then he was able to make more money, spend a lot less time on his practice and more time in his life. And it was just making a shift in thinking about the product delivery.
I think a good example of this is Metropol, where people would say, well, what do you do? And people would think, well, we provide property-related services. And that's true. But we recognize that that's actually not what our product or our service is. Our product is long-term financial peace, more choices in life, freedom, having money to do what you want to do when you want to do it and who you want to do it with. And property is only the vehicle. So I think that's a good example of understanding what you're really selling.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And also understanding, Michael, that you're not selling you, and that your strategy, your wisdom, your knowledge can actually be delivered by other people via a foolproof system and structure. And that's exactly what we show people how to do in the book.
One of the things that I had to learn, because no one taught me how to be a business owner and entrepreneur, was the importance of the people in my business and the culture in my business. And I know you spend a bit of time talking about that. You'd think that just people coming into the work, doing their job, getting paid. Does that have to be more complex than that?
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I know that's not how you think and you know, how you treat your team within Metropolitan. I know that you understand. The greatest asset that anyone can have in a business, maybe after their database, Michael, is their people. It's a mistake that I see entrepreneurs making all the time. They focus on looking at the revenue. They look at the return to the stakeholders. They focus on their clients, but they almost spend no time or resources on their people. And I think there's two aspects we need to understand. Firstly, if we treat the people in the business as the most important asset, they'll take care of the clients. And in turn, that'll take care of the revenue. And that will in turn help the business to grow. It's a very simple formula. But secondly, Michael, times have changed. I mean, gone are the days when you left school and you got a job and you stayed there for 50 years. Times have just dramatically changed on the younger generations. So we have to understand how we meet the expectations of the people around us, how we give them fulfillment, and how we find a way to get the best out of them so that they can put the best into their business.
Now, by now, some people are thinking, hey, I want to read this. I want to learn more about this. And there'll be a link in the show notes. But if you go to haveabusinessnotajob.com, have a business, not a job, you'll be able to get your own copy of Mark's great book. Mark, there's lots of great information there and principles that I apply at Metropol, we apply in our business. But if you got a small business or a professional practice and have few or no staff, how does this apply?
Yeah, great question, Michael. In the book, I talk about how the definition of people extends to all of the people in your network, the people who help you deliver your product or service. So it covers your suppliers, your referral partners, your alliance partners, people you refer to. And if we understand that definition of people is very broad and all-encompassing, then the principles apply that exactly the same way. And so essentially what you can do is you can end up having the people around you growing your business for you without direct input from you. And at the end of the day, that's how you ultimately get to that level three status.
Sure. We've mentioned level three business a couple of times. We've mentioned Business Accelerator Mastermind a couple of times. And for people who are new to this podcast, I'd like to explain to them what that's all about, because for many years, I've had a business coach, I think probably for almost two decades now. You're my third business coach. And over time, I'd grown my business. I'd outgrown the business coaches. And I remember a good personal friend, a joint friend, recommended you. You helped me. I then got other directors in the business to use your services as a business coach. I ended up referring clients to you, saw the results they got, how you transformed their business, gave them more of a life back. I guess they actually built a business more than have a job. Hey, that's a good name for a book. And then as I saw how well it worked, I thought this would be a really great adjunct to what we do at Metropol, help clients get the sort of life they want by building a business. A lot of business people use the money from their business then to grow their wealth in property or other areas. And then we got together as business partners to build Business Accelerator Mastermind. Hey, if you want to find out more about it, go to metropolmastermind.com.au. Mark, tell us a bit about Business Accelerator Mastermind and why that's different to other business coaching programs.
Yeah, Michael, I think that the big difference between Business Accelerator Mastermind and a lot of the coaching programs out there is that we operate on a process where our clients get to spend time with me. They get some individual accountability from me, but we also spend time as a group. In fact, three times a year in non-COVID times, we get together in a room. In COVID times, we've been doing it via Zoom, but we get one-on-one time. So we get this individual accountability, but we also get collective momentum by having lots of group aspects to the program. And then we also get shared wisdom because, as you know, they get access to me, they get access to you, they get access to support from Caroline. And there's some, frankly, there's some pretty clever cats in the program as well that have got knowledge in areas outside of our expertise. So it's an all-encompassing program that has lots of content, lots of accountability. And I think the big thing is that it's what we call a done with you program. So not do it yourself. We don't do it for you. We actually do it with you. And so we support you all the way along, wherever you might be in your business journey, to help you to get to that level three status.
Well, let's be fair. It's not for everybody, because while you said wherever you may be in the journey, Business Accelerator Mastermind is for people who have started their business, rather than people who are just thinking about it. But there's a wide variety of people. So, as you say, very, very successful business people. And one of the great things is at the regular group sessions, because I know you spend time one-on-one with them, but there's a lot of sessions where we do things as a group. The Superman capes go out the door. Everybody's there happy to help other people. And that's a great community. And I think that's one of the challenges a lot of business people have. Isolation, no one to talk with about their successes, their failures, or just to bounce things off.
Yeah, one of the things I really love about Mastermind is what we call our tribe, and that is where people who are in the program, they have an idea or they have a thought or they have a question, and they actually put it out to the tribe. So often, Michael, by the time I get to see it and provide what I think is a solution or an answer, it's already been provided by other members as well. And there's a whole bunch of input coming in. So there's that real shared wisdom and collective momentum. And I think that's one of the things that that I love most about, and I know that's what our members love most about the program.
So if you want to find out more about Business Accelerator Mastermind, there'll be a link to that in the show notes as well. Go to metropolemastermind.com.au. And if you'd like a copy of Mark's great new book, go to haveabusinessnotajob.com. Again, there'll be a link in the show note. And you can end up getting the wisdom from the same business coach that I have. Once again, Mark, congratulations on the publication of your book, and thanks for your time.
Thanks, Michael. Nine more and I'll catch up with you.
Yes. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's Build a Business, Not a Job podcast, which I run once a month in between my regular property, money and success podcasts. But as you can see, there are some traits that successful investors share with successful business people and entrepreneurs. But there's no surprise, is it? Now, if you got some benefit from today's show and you'd like somebody else to get benefit as well, you know somebody who may get some benefit, please tell them about the show or use the share button on the podcast app or tell the world by leaving a review. You can catch up with me in between my twice weekly shows on social media. Just look for Michael Yardney. And if you want more property information, why not get that daily exclusive snippet that I give to my private Facebook group by just looking on Facebook and looking for the Property Update private Facebook group. I look forward to catching up with you again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?